And I attended this church for a while, a few months, I'd say. But then I started, I don't attend there anymore because I started getting the feeling that eventually these people would expect me to be giving up my homosexuality and to be, they're always trying to preach to you and tell you that you should be delivered from this, that being gay is a sin and so forth, and I just can't go for that because I'm comfortable with my sexuality and this is where I want to be. But there, like I say, there have been times in my life when I have felt, God, what else? You know, what? How much more can you take? And you know, like I felt like I was just going nowhere, getting nowhere, and didn't know if I really wanted to be with anyone, as I said. But then I met this girl named Karen.
Mm-hmm. Now this is already coming into 1980.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. It was kind of funny how Karen and I met. I lived on the corner of Allen and Marin for about 11 years, and it was like, I used to go to a restaurant there in the corner. I think, first they called it the Times Square. At the time when I met her, they called this restaurant the Times Square. And I used to go there a lot during the day, just out of boredom and whatever, and sit down and have a Coke. And sit there and read a book or whatever, and gawk out the window or anything I could think of, I guess, just sit there and keep from being bored. And I used to notice this woman come in once in a while and use the phone and sit down, and she would always be by herself, you know. And I said to Judy one day, Judy happened to be in there with me and we were having something to eat, I said, Judy, do you know that woman? And she said, no, I don't, but I see her a lot walking around. I said, she's, you know, kind of interesting looking. And Judy said, yeah, I wonder who she is. So when she was using the phone in the back and came back out, she had some sort of a shirt on that Judy liked, and Judy commented on the shirt. And in so doing, Karen came over to the table and started to talk to us, and she was very friendly, and we invited her to sit down with us and have coffee. And we started talking to her, and they found that they were interested in some of the same things, and that Karen was very interested in poetry, and she was a very creative person. She was interested in art, and you could see that she was intelligent in speaking to her. This was the first time, and then we all, you know, had to leave, go our separate ways, and we got up and said goodbye to each other. She stuck in my mind. There was something about her that I liked, and I said to myself, gee, I sort of hope I see her again. She's rather interesting. We did meet after that. I don't remember how many times, but we met quite a few times after that. And it seemed like she would always sit down and talk to me. We didn't have a lot in common, as you might say. I've written some poetry, but not anything great, but I like poetry if it's not too heavy. We talked about poetry. We talked about a lot of things. She told me that she had recently split with a lover, and she was just at a point in her life where she was very disgusted, and she really didn't care too much about anything either.
Mm-hmm.
We saw each other quite a while, and one day she was leaving. She told me she'd be going to the bar that night, but she said, I'll be around, I'll see. I said, well, you know, stop over sometime. I said, I don't care. No, I am. I said, I don't care what time it is. I said, I'm up, or call me or something. Mm. If you ever feel like you want to stop by, I says, you know, come on over. She said, what if it's 3 o'clock in the morning? And I said, well, you know, I thought that's kind of a funny question to ask, you know. I said, that's fine. If you want to come at 3 o'clock in the morning, fine. Just, you know, come on over. I thought, what the hell? So I guess she went out that night and got good and drunk, right? She came to my house at 3 o'clock
in the morning.
And, well, it happened that night.
Mm.
And it was nice. Mm-hmm. It was different. It was interesting. I liked what was happening to me, and I didn't like what was happening. In this respect, I mean that I didn't want to be interested in anybody, but yet a part of me says, mm-hmm. there's something about this woman that you like, and are you going to find an interest in this woman, or what? You know, I talk to myself sometimes, think to myself, and we saw each other quite a few times after that. She started coming to my house for dinner. We started seeing each other. I went to her house sometimes. This went on for quite a few months, and then we decided that we were going to get together and have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And our relationship lasted, well, we were going on 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
was that a very different kind of relationship from the ones you had in the 50s?
Yes, it was.
In what respect?
Well, she had a job. She worked for a living.
Okay.
And
different?
Yes, it sure is. She was not the kind of a person that would like to take and use people. She shared things with me, like the cable bill. She bought me a washer, a wringer washer, which I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind to me. She couldn't do enough for me. It was like... the only real problems that we had, though, was that she was, I don't think our age was a problem so much. It was, the children were all home, and I was having a lot of problem with my son,
yeah.
because he was drinking, and
yeah, I know.
He was acting up, and just a lot of things. And I just feel like it, a relationship, it just wasn't the time, I guess.
Right.
Nothing was going right.
Mm-hmm.
She was young. She was the kind of person that... well, she naturally needed to feel that someone was there sexually and in other ways. And for some reason, I have had a problem in my life with having oral sex.
Not with doing it. Uh-huh.
I don't, for some reason, I don't like it. I don't like to do it. And there were times when I didn't want her to do it with me either, because I was starting to go through my change. And I had having some problems. The gynecologist had explained to me that my bladder had dropped, and at times I felt as if I might be not just the way I should be there, you know.
You felt you were in pressure. And
right,
yeah,
and I didn't want to become offensive in that
sure,
manner.
I understand.
And I know that I'm, was clean and everything, but I just didn't feel that way.
Right.
And I don't know, she just felt like it didn't matter to her. She wanted it, and that was all there was to it.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of a nymphomaniac, this girl. She was.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I don't like sex, and that maybe it'll appear to you that I don't like it, but I'm the kind of person that... Mm-hmm. I like it, but not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I like it once in a while.
I know that, and I don't really mean to turn you off the subject, and I would like to talk to you about that particular relationship, but that's already getting into the 80s.
Okay.
And the kind of stuff, and for comparison purposes, it's very valuable, but... the kind of study that we're doing is more concerned with an earlier period.
Right.
And so one of the things that you've said is had to do with oral sex and not being an extremely sexual person, although liking sex but not being extremely sexual. And I'd like to know how that affected your other relationships earlier, like... Judy at the end of the 50s and Bobby into the early 60s.
Okay. It seemed like, I don't know if this is going to make any sense or not, but it seemed like then that I had no problem with that because of the role-playing thing. I mean, people seemed to know where they were at, and I didn't have to worry about... a lot of witches were what you would call untouchable, and at that time, Bobby was. I'm not saying that
was
she never wanted to be touched. Yes, I would say at that time, I don't know what's happening now or anything, but with me, yes.
So Judy was an untouchable, Bobby was an untouchable, so you didn't have to worry about
and I was comfortable. I was comfortable with that. It's not saying I ever wanted to touch them or anything like that. I just never really cared for getting into that oral sex thing. Uh-huh. I didn't. Uh-huh. I just didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I felt uncomfortable. I said, I mean, I would not have to feel uncomfortable when having sex while knowing, God, you know, I'm going to have to be doing this to these women.
Yeah, yeah.
It isn't that I found it dirty or anything. I just did not like it. Mm-hmm. So I was very comfortable, and I felt very, you know, I feel like I'm a warm person, and I had no trouble in that area.
Mm-hmm. So you had no trouble then?
No.
It's so when roles are very clear in relationships, you're fine.
I'm fine.
Because you're femme. And all the rules are...
Right.
Okay. We get to the 80s,
and
this
totally
relationship is not the same?
Totally. No, it is not.
So it's
people...
It was not role-defined?
No, it was not. Definitely not.
And that changes then for you? Then that
changes.
Sex changes for
you?
Yes,
it does. It certainly does.
Uh-huh.
I feel uncomfortable in that situation. Very uncomfortable.
So at this point in your life, you feel like you would rather be with somebody who knows their butch?
Who knows where they're at, who knows who they are,
yeah,
or whatever.
But are you still femme? Do you still feel like you're femme?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly
so
am.
So is it, in fact, a butch you might be looking for at this point?
Yes, a mm-hmm. butch type woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that has stayed consistent. You have not changed in your life from
not
butch to
all.
Femme to or
no.
to the middle or anything like
no,
that?
No, not at all.
God, your history is so long and complex and interesting that I've got, you know, again, a million questions about
mm-hmm.
it. Did you know women in the early days who did change their role?
Yes, I think so. They sort of swung like monkeys from one thing to another. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I just got that feeling around
mm-hmm.
certain people in that at
well,
that time.
How fast did they do it? I mean, did they do it daily?
Well,
or?
No, it was like one time, well, I'm butch this week and or this month, and maybe mm-hmm. I'll be femme the next month. And
what'd you
totally
think
disgusted
like
me. I didn't like
oh,
that.
Yeah?
Disgusted me.
Why?
Because I feel that people should know where they're at and know what they want. It's always been kind of a funny thing with me. You've got to know where you're at. Either you are or you aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're either butch or you're femme. You can't mm-hmm. change this thing from one month to the next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just... If you're butch, you're butch. If you're femme, you're femme. I mean, it's like if you're either in love with somebody or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's my mm-hmm. conception of it. I don't know.
What did other people think of it?
Some thought it was okay, and others felt the same way I did.
Mm.
I think most of your femmes felt like I did. A lot of the butches, of course, they thought it was fun to fuck around, play around, change around, you know.
A lot of the butches
yes.
would be femme sometimes?
Yes.
Oh.
Not a lot of them, but some of them that I know.
Huh.
But I didn't think that was too funny.
Isn't it interesting?
Yes, it is.
Would they be femme when they were out in public?
Yes.
Would they be femme in bed?
That I don't know, because I didn't go to bed with them, but there was a friend of mine who had been with one of these particular people, and she had thought that the party was quite femme in bed, and other times very butch. It's confusing and very hard to understand something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a split personality or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I like someone who knows what they are and who stays that way.
Stays that way.
Yeah, that fluctuating. Whatever, I don't care for it. It's funny, you know, that we bring that up, because now with this person I'm interested in, certainly, we know there, it's not what we want to talk about, but I just wanted to say something to you here.
Sure.
It was like, it's totally different. This girl is totally different from anyone that I have ever really liked. I think with us, it's really a closeness more than a commitment, because we can't have a commitment. It's not meant to be like that. But there is a great closeness between us that I like, because we have so much in common. Mm-hmm. And when she's straightened out and everything, I just kind of wanted to comment on that. Mm-hmm. That we've both been there. We both know what it's like to feel pain and hard knocks mm-hmm. and bullshit and whatever, you know. We've sat down and we've had some beautiful talks. Mm-hmm. And I feel very close to her. And we've been close and we are close. And I like it, but I'm not so sure at this point in time if I'm really ready for a commitment at all, period. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With anyone right now.
Well, it's understandable. You've been through a lot. I'm running out of steam. I don't know if you are or not. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other questions I may want to mm-hmm. ask you. Would it be okay
sure.
to do another interview?
Certainly.
What I have to do is I like to listen to this tape and take notes, and also have Liz listen to it too.
Oh,
and,
God. You know, she's probably going to think I'm some screwball.
No,
because
no,
it's sort
not,
of hard
not
to.
At all.
I'd like to hear that back myself sometime.
Yeah,
I would.
I hear you.
Are you allowed to do that?
Sure. Listen to your own tape. It's your
words. It'd be fun, because I certainly you don't know when you're just sitting down talking. It's really, that'd be fun to just see what yeah. what happens on it, you know.
But we'll make notes and things that we want to follow up on, because sometimes it's hard to
yeah,
follow up on things when you're sitting right there.
Need any more information, why, I'll be glad to.
That'd be great.
Oblige.
Thank you, I really appreciate
I think it's interesting myself.
Your energy.
I like it.
Good.